Alleluia, Christ is risen. Today is an in-between Sunday. On Thursday, we celebrated our Lord's ascension on high that he might fill all things. The Lord who came from the Father has returned to him. But next Sunday is Pentecost, the day when the Spirit was publicly poured out onto the church to proclaim Christ's salvation with great boldness. And the 9 days in between, what must they have been like for those disciples? Jesus had ascended. The Spirit had not yet come. They were left to themselves. And we know what happens when we are left to ourselves. When we come face to face with our failings, our imperfections, our selfishness, our lack of love and foolish decisions. When a Christian comes face to face with his sin, he is in sorrow and despair. But so also when we are attacked by the sins of others, and when we are simply overwhelmed by the deep corruption that pervades our world, despite sunny days and mothers and every other joy that remains, still there is sickness, depression, death. It is times like these that the Psalter, the Book of Psalms, is our best place to turn. There we find the words to pray. Words from God himself to speak back to him. His own answer to our sin and to our sorrows both. Hide not your face from me, O Lord. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. God answered this ancient prayer for help by sending Jesus. And it was further answered when Christ sent his Spirit, the Helper, from the Father. When Jesus says, I will send you the Helper from the Father, he does not send a coach or a productivity specialist with works and commandments for us. These alone can't help us. That isn't the message and the testimony of this Helper, this Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus. That is his work. This Sunday between the Ascension and Pentecost teaches us what it means to be a disciple of Jesus and to have his Spirit. Our life as a Christian is a life of clinging to the Spirit's testimony about what Christ has accomplished. It is a life of suffering in the world, and it is a life of doing good to our neighbors. First, we cling to the Spirit's testimony. Today's collect anticipates Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit's consolation or comfort is precisely in testifying about Jesus. Jesus testifies himself today mostly about the great need that we have for comfort, the many assaults that we can expect because he has told us beforehand. The devil and your own conscience will frighten you because of your sins. The world will hate your confession of the faith and your morals and your piety. And you will know in suffering and in pain and in trials and temptation that what you are experiencing is not simply the way the world is. You know that death does not belong here because Jesus lives. Sin has been vanquished. The devil is defeated. And it is our discomfort with all of these enemies in the world that separates us from unbelievers who do not have the Spirit. We wish to be free of the very things that the world in its confusion seeks to embrace. But the Holy Spirit comes and comforts us or consoles us by pointing us to Jesus Christ. Nothing in the world can satisfy us, give us lasting peace, or truly numb the pain of sin. But Christ Jesus has satisfied everything that we lacked. He has made eternal peace with the Father for us, and he has buried our sin forever in his tomb. He lives, and that, despite what we see, cannot be taken from us, dear saints. The Holy Spirit won't make you or your wallet fat and happy. Jesus has already told you to expect just the opposite if you follow him, denying yourself, bearing crosses. But the Holy Spirit will enable you to say, when I have lost everything, spouse, children, possessions, car, reputation, even my own life, yes, when all of that is gone, still, Jesus Christ was made man for my sake, died and rose again and ascended into heaven. He is coming at the last day for me. If God's Son suffered for me, then he will certainly not be my enemy. Since he loves me and he has given me such great promises, then I truly have everything. Second, we Christians will suffer in the world. Being faithful to God's word is going to make you unpopular. Don't be surprised when you must make a choice to remain a Christian. St. Peter echoes Jesus and says, "The fiery trials are not unexpected for you." Many of the trials that we face today are never going to risk our life or our limb for Jesus Christ. We'll simply be asked if we can bear a mild inconvenience for him. Will you say no to appointments for health or work or fun if they are going to take you away from hearing God's word? Will you be willing to lose money supporting the church so that the gospel can still be preached to you and to your children and to others? Not just support the church when the IRS makes it favorable for us. Will you dare to disagree when someone calls evil good and obey God rather than men, no matter who laughs or threatens you? Will you continue to confess the truth that you have learned? If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. You may be tempted to turn back, to embrace the comfort that the world will offer to you. But know this, dear saints, the comfort that the world offers is false and counterfeit. The disciple of Jesus can never be fully comfortable in this world of sin and death without first giving up that spirit, ceasing to be a disciple of Jesus. Because our comfort, rather, is in that testimony of the Holy Spirit to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's help and comfort is in hearing and in believing that truth. He reminds us, therefore, that the suffering of this world and life lasts but a short time. The comfort of salvation and life in the kingdom of God will never end. Lastly, we Christians who are looking for Christ's return spend our time as priests, praying and offering ourselves as living sacrifices, doing good to our neighbor in this world. Today, St. Peter in the epistle uses the word stewardship to describe this life of doing works of mercy. Now, you probably know stewardship is common church parlance for giving money. But today, we've heard it from the scriptures, the inspired word of the Holy Spirit from St. Peter's mouth, using this term to describe a lot more than just that. As each has received a gift of any kind, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. There is a variety in the gifts that God has given. Some have the gift of speaking, and their speech should announce and reflect at all times on the oracles of God, which means God's words and his deeds, and especially his promises. Others have the gift of service of various kinds, changing a diaper, changing a tire, changing a light bulb, preparing a meal, preparing a budget, paying a bill, or paying a visit. The gifts that God has given you are to be used not for yourself alone, but for your neighbors, for your church, for your world. The remaining time of our life and of this world is short. Ascension reminds us that the end of all things is at hand, for Christ will return in the same manner as he left. So what should we do now? Be prepared for his return. Be self-controlled and sober-minded, occupied in prayer. Pray that God would remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, a heart led by his Holy Spirit, so that you walk in his ways and keep his commandments. God began that work in you at baptism, when he did sprinkle clean water on you and put his Holy Spirit in your heart. He who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who promises is faithful. He will do it. He is the Lord who says to us first, "Seek my face." So he does not hide himself from you, his dear child, but he promises to give you the Comforter, in whom his blessing and his countenance are always near. Therefore, be confident, whether in life or in death, because the Lord is the stronghold of your life. Of whom shall you be afraid? Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.